And we are live, and it is Monday, the 8th of September, our regular Atlantic Corridor meeting from a somewhat damp Kleeborg and a damp but very hot Campo Grande in western Brazil. Isma, you are well, I presume?
Yeah, it's very good today.
Very good day.
Yeah, I have some stuff to manage, but not something new or so hard. Only routine for today.
Only routine for today. Okay, so today we are going to talk about confidence and maybe the fact that if you do not know something, it might be to your advantage. So not the typical confidence of going in fighting and saying, I know everything, I have all the answers, leave it with me, but the reverse. And maybe we can frame that a little bit, I don't know. Listeners may or may not remember your political attempts 2 years ago to a year ago when you wanted to become a city councillor in the with the Novo Party in Campo Grande, and the problems and the issues you encountered there, or maybe some other part of your life that you can think of. So let's start with the first question. When, Isma, in your life, not knowing something could actually be a strength?
In fact, I would like to be a genius and have, if possible, all answer for my question, but it's not possible. And when I see someone saying, oh, I'm very confident in all circumstances, I have two possibilities for this statement. The one is only saying words to have a high concept from others, and or if not, they are not realistic because it's not possible to be confident in all situation that you will solve everything in the best way is possible. I think it's only rhetorical. And what happened with me? When something gets wrong, I think maybe it's good because if everything go as I want to, I will be very proud and maybe arrogant. And when something gets wrong, I think it make me a little more humble because I'm mortal and I'm not a perfect being in the world. And I think it's sometimes I appreciate when I make some mistakes. Of course, not of course, because maybe it's different for someone else, but I think I have made more mistakes than I have hit the nail on the head. But I think it's normal. Although there are people that complain that everything is not well with them, I think maybe I have more bad points on my acts, on my decision, but I have done something right as well.
Really, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Okay, so touching on that mistakes and where you have not made any mistakes. Is there one area in your life? Okay, so let's put this into context. We are not old people, you and I, but we are no longer spring chickens. We've still got a lot of life left in us. But is there one area in your life where you are confident enough to admit, I'm still trying to figure this one out. I'm still trying to understand it.
I think that's it. I will say a number, but maybe it's just to illustrate my idea. I would say that I'm a 100% good citizen, and most of time I'm not afraid to make mistake as a citizen. Maybe I can make some mistakes because I ignore some law or some subjects, but when I'm
Surely not.
aware, sorry?
Surely not.
Yeah. But when I'm aware what I'm doing, I think I'm most always a good citizen, and I'm very confident in this aspect. Maybe it's the aspect that I am more confident.
Okay.
Would you answer me in what aspects I am less confident or not?
Well, you keep saying that you find that your English is not good enough, and I keep telling you that it is actually better than you think. I think that's pretty much the
Yeah, it's true, but I didn't think about that.
you see,
But
I
you are true, you are true. I'm not so confident in my English level and my knowledge, my skill to communicate in English. You're right.
Well, that's what I think. But the other part, of course, is the many discussions we had when you ran as city councillor for the Novo Party. And I think one of the interesting aspects of that is politically, I don't think we agree on a few things, but on the other hand, I remember you very clearly asking me whether I would vote for you if I could. And given our conversations and given our thought exchanges, I said, yes, I may not agree with the party, but I agree with the person Isma. You went through the campaign, you learnt a lot. You were not successful, but you knew that from the beginning, that the chances of success were practically zero. You were then asked, if I remember correctly, by the party to see whether you would stand for as candidate for a seat in the Senate or in the state, no, in the state parliament, in the state parliament. And you declined. So, almost a year after this experience, I think that it was October last year when the elections were held, 2024, you have come out of this experience wiser, or are you still trying to understand what happened and why it happened, and have you lost more faith in Brazil's political system in the process that you're still trying to figure that one out as well? Or have you just drawn a line under the whole experience and said, that was 2 years of my life, end of discussion?
I would say that it was 100% rich experience. I don't regret in any moment for being a candidate for city council in my city. It was something that I wanted to do for a long time. It was very great. And I had opportunity to know more people, and I think I said it to you. Here, many people say that we have the representative that we deserve, and I always disagree with that. But living together more, I would say, closer to people on the streets and talk to them what they wanted, they need. I changed my mind, and I think that with people we are, the mindset that we have, how you behave, it's almost impossible to have a different country. And I'm not saying only about people that they are working on the basic level in the society, but some other people. Even when I analyzed my colleagues that were candidates like me. For example, we were Turkey, and most of time I realized that some of us behave in a selfish way, thinking that if they did something or on one way or some other way, they would get more votes and be elected. Probably if you have worked as a team, 30 people worked as a team, probably we have had a candidate elector for our city hall counseling. It is one point, but it's not something that I thought different about people in general. And I could know more about people from other politicians and candidates from other political parties, and something that I imagined, but I didn't have know so close to that. For example, a million and a half, 100,000 reais is something I would say maybe more than 200,000 euros. And some people invested, I don't know the origin of that money, and they didn't get to be elected. it's something weird because it's not only to have money and spend it on the campaign that someone will be elected. It's a fact composed by many components, many items. It's something that maybe it's possible to understand if you live in that environment. But and from my party, in general, I have no regrets. And I also think that the board, the local board, should work in a different way. For example, I saw some colleagues just distributing papers for people on the street. And they didn't talk to people. They didn't talk what the difference from our parties. And I think we, in general, needed like a training for that, a training to talk on internet because I wasn't, but many colleagues were interviewed in on an internet program, and they said that what they didn't know much about, they said something that wasn't correctly because it's not possible to know everything to be a good politician. It doesn't matter what level. I think it requires a lot from people to dedicate to this work. But the party board should work in a different way to make people more able to develop their role. For example, I don't remember if I told you, this guy isn't in our party anymore. I don't know the real reason. And I offered him to write a script what he want to say on their on his videos, and I will help him a little because he doesn't talk well on video, but he has a great social potential to be a good city councilor. And he told me that he didn't need any help because he knew how to do that. Another one that I didn't offer my help, he asked me many times for help. I think it was interesting. But in general, from 30 candidates, I think most of us behave in a selfish way, and it disturbed us to get at least a place at our municipal parliament.
Politicians are actually an interesting breed of animals. As you know, Janita and I host this program, lunch with Janita and Frank on a Thursday. And another breeder resident by the name of Bruce, who is a retired professor, he asked me the question in my sort of playful role as mayor. of Breda. He asked me, when would I stand for re-election? And I said, probably never, because I am convinced I am the only one who can do the job properly. And
You are the most prepared dictator, yeah, from Britain.
exactly. But given your observations of the political landscape in Brazil, and I don't want to go down the who is right or who is wrong, because I think every politician, and it doesn't matter what their political beliefs are, whether they are left, center, right, up, down, lunatic, crazy, intelligent, it does not matter. For me, the question is the balance between power and knowing and ego. And in your observations, maybe just in the local council of Campo Grande, can you see a signal from councillors, from the mayor of Campo Grande, from the political elite of the town, maybe also of the state, where confidence turns into ego, where people say, well, I've been in this job so long, only I can do it, and there is no alternative, when in actual fact, maybe there are alternatives. But also, being a politician, if you admit not knowing anything, you're not going to get re-elected. So it's a very strange environment to be in. You have to know everything, even though you don't know it. And if you do know it, you don't want to leave because nobody else can do it better. Have you observed that in your?
Are you asking me if I see that someone consider themselves so skillful to be a politician in several levels?
Yes. Even though maybe they, whether, not because of political belief, but because they think they are the experts, they have the ego, they have the confidence.
In local level, I wouldn't say, but in federal level, maybe Lula and Bolsonaro think that they are I don't know if it's correct to say the cherry on the top of the cake.
Okay, the yeah, okay.
Yeah, both of them. There are some others. But now I would have to think deeply to find some other name. But this one, I think they
Okay.
really consider themselves like that.
Okay, so Lula at the moment is the president, and he's having a bit of a difficult time because of the American policies. The word escapes me at the moment. The economic policies, and Bolsonaro is having a difficult time because a lot of people do not agree with him. We could also talk about the Supreme Court justice, the one particular justice on the Supreme Court who blocked X from operating freely in Brazil for quite a long time until Elon Musk agreed to do as he said, the name I have forgotten as well. Is this power hunger, or is this super confidence, or is this all justice?
Are you asking from our Supreme Court judges, yeah?
Yeah, there's one Supreme Court judge there who is almighty and powerful.
According to my interpretation, they use the word democracy a lot to justify to to cover their real intention. In my opinion, they aren't interested in maintain or to make our democracy better. And I think that they are a great power that supports not only our Supreme Court, but even Lula's government. Because the big dream of Lula is become Brazil a communist country. I don't know if you have read. Lula is it's day far away from United States or any other democratic Western country, and closer to Putin and Xi Jinping. China has bought a lot of things here in Brazil. And for people that read at least a little and worry about Brazil, I think it's a dangerous moment for us because China probably will overtake United States economically, maybe in 20 years at the maximum, if they develop in the rhythm that they are developing. And I think it's not interesting to have so much investment money from China and Brazil, in my opinion.
Okay. So you said that Lula's goal is to turn Brazil into a communist country. Let's leave that statement as it is. And continue to say that Bolsonaro wants to, or his goal was, it's almost impossible for him to do that now. His goal was to turn Brazil into a exact opposite, into a free capitalist country.
Yes, I think
Both,
Bolsonaro's intention was to become Brazil more and more capitalist.
so you have these two extremes. Both are confident in their assertiveness in the way they want this to do, and they have lots of advisors and lots of studies and information that support their arguments. But at the end of the day, nobody is sure whether that will work, either extreme. You have seen extreme communist countries fail. You have seen countries with extreme right-wing governments not perform very well. And neither politician, neither Bolsonaro nor Lula would actually have the guts to say, "I'm sorry, I got it wrong, I did not know." Yet that is probably what would make, it doesn't matter what you believe politically, but that sentence, "I'm sorry, I got it wrong, I did not know," yeah, would probably make them much more human and acceptable than anything else. Then
Sometimes I said to you that scientifically Brazil is not important in the world frame, but we have many capable people here, and many of them, in my opinion, would be better president than Lula and Bolsonaro, because both of them, in my opinion, they aren't prepared to rule Brazil, to run Brazil. But politics is not for the ones who are more knowledgeable.
Knowledgeable.
Knowledgeable, the ones who are more prepared, or the more intelligent, the more honest. Politics is something that what we see, it's not what it really is. And of course, some other things happen the same. But see, politician, it's like a fiction. We think that we are watching something, but the reality at background is completely different. I don't know how force get together to elect someone and to have some part in the power, because it doesn't matter who will be the ruler of a country or a city. There are many parts interested in X and in Z. And I think it's terrible, because politician, not only politician, but human beings should think more about other people. As you know, we have something near to 1 billion people starving. It would be maybe 12% of the world. And if someone asked you, can you give 50% of your income to feed all starving people in the world? Initially, I would say yes. But we have to find a solution for a long time, not for 1 week or a month. Because if someone says, I would donate all my wealth, it's
My
correct to
wealth,
say,
yes, yeah.
my wealth to solve the hunger in the world, and that you solve it. You won't solve. Maybe you can eliminate hunger for a short time, but not forever. You have to solve this kind of problem in a different way. And it happens with some other subjects, for example, violence. In El Salvador, they have, I suppose, more than 40,000 people in jail. And now it's considered one of the most safe, the safer country in the world. But when change the government, and if they have another politics of security, and the number of criminals increase on the streets, all this work will be finished, will be broken. It's something that you have to find a solution for a long time.
Do you think that if politics were free of ideology, this is a very naive sentence from me, and I know this, but if politics were free of ideology and politicians use their ideology to go forward and say, I have the best answer to the best and the best solution to the biggest problem. And if a politician would just go out and say, well, I see the problem, I don't have a solution, let's talk about it and let's not be ideological. Let's just be human. Do you think that might actually change something for the better?
Probably.
But it's very idealistic. It's totally unrealistic. It's very idealistic.
Yeah. Because if a ruler does that, the citizen will think, oh, this guy doesn't know how to solve a problem. Why is he's there? Why is running our country if he doesn't have the solution? He asking people for solution. He's a weak president, a weak state governor. People, I think, at the first moment they will think something like this.
Why is it then, do you think, that on a personal level, if you do not know something and you admit it and you strive to learn about it, that this is perfectly acceptable? But when it comes to leadership, it becomes unacceptable. Why
Yes.
is that, in your opinion?
Because we are human beings, we are always, in general, of course, with some exceptions, we are always looking for a guide, like Jesus Christ, a savior, someone that guide us to the paradise, to the heaven. I think it's a human fragility. We need someone to guide us.
All right.
Do
So
you agree with me?
it's an interesting thought. And since human beings are far from perfect, why don't we get artificial intelligence that is rational, doesn't understand power, doesn't make mistakes or miscalculate? Why don't we get artificial intelligence to rule us, to tell us where the path forward is? And if we don't like it, we just pull out the plug, because without any electricity, artificial intelligence cannot function.
Although we use the now intelligence and the adjective intelligence, as I said some minutes ago, I have more mistakes than I did things correctly. And artificial intelligence, the artificial, it's something weird because if a man is a natural being, how could something that is done by a human being that's natural can be artificial? And artificial intelligence use data from our past, our present, and to do something better in the future. We are using something from the nature. And the name artificial, it's weird. And if you aren't intelligent enough to solve our problem, how can I program a machine, me, a human being that I'm natural, can program a machine to know things for me better than I can? Of course, a machine doesn't feel tired. Doesn't need food. They work in faster, but I'm not sure that they will have a better solution for our problem than we can think and fight them. I think it's like a controversy here.
It's actually interesting, because we have an Amazon Alexa here at home, and sometimes we will ask it a question I mean, normally we use it as a timer and as a radio. That's the majority of the time uses that it gets. Yeah, totally not what Amazon wanted us to do or would like us to do with it. But sometimes, and this Alexa is in the kitchen. And sometimes we ask the Alexa a question, and if it's not in the database that she can use, she will tell you, "I'm sorry, I have no information on that," or "I'm sorry, I cannot help you with that." So even a piece of technology can admit to not knowing anything or a specific fact. Now, the difference between the Alexa and maybe a human being is that the Alexa just tells you, "I don't know it." The human being could say, "I don't know it, but I'm willing to find out and give you an answer later."
I have been doing this. I don't know exactly for how long that I don't understand. I don't know something about it. And when I say, people get surprised when I say I don't know, because many of people, they don't say, they try to give some strange answer, or they talk something here, something there. And they didn't really answer the question, but they didn't admit that they know. And when I say I don't know, it's a surprise for them. Even for my mom, because my mom thinks that I know a lot of things, and I am his tutor. And I say, I don't know. Oh, you don't know? How it means? Why don't you know that?
Is there somebody that you can think of, either in your family or a historical figure or a friend or somebody like that, who you admire because of this humility that they freely admit that, "I'm sorry, I don't have the answer, I don't know." And that somehow they say this, they admit this, and they are still respected because they do things differently. Is there somebody that you can think of or admire or that you know who thinks in this direction?
I think, fortunately, I have heard a few people saying that they don't know the answer. Yeah, but it's maybe it's something that is become better. The number of people that admit that is increasing. Yeah.
But you can't think of anybody specific.
I had a professor. He's very wise and much younger than me. Maybe he's around 40. And sometimes he says, "I don't know. I'm just asking. I don't have the answer. It's just my question for you to think about, because I don't have the answer." I think it's interesting.
And so this professor, is he widely respected? Is he admired for this way of thinking and acting? Or is he really?
I don't know him for long, but I've heard some some opinions about him that he's a good professor, and yeah, something like this. But no, I don't have much information about beside that.
Okay. So let's go back to your political aspirations. I remember you telling me the story once that you were at a political party meeting, a local one in Campo Grande, and that you were unhappy about the way this meeting was conducted, the way the meeting went. And that I think, if I remember correctly, you actually left the room almost in protest, because you found that your time was being wasted and the party's resources were being wasted. Not the most popular move one can make, because you raise your finger in protest and you go against the grain, because you disagree very clearly and very strongly. How did you stay grounded and true to your beliefs after this happening, this event where you left the meeting in protest, where you clearly might have been the only person of all the people in the room who did not agree and who would have probably challenged you on this?
If I didn't answer the question properly, if I run away, please tell me. When we are on a meeting, some people have the tendency to talk more, and I don't know if they consider themselves more prepared, more intelligent, but mainly they are someone that wants to talk more and guide the meeting. It's interesting because a meeting needs a leader. But I think that it's interesting that anyone had opportunity to say what they think. If they don't have anything to add, okay, you don't have obligation to say something, just to say that you said something, if it's not, it doesn't contribute to the discussion. And not only on this meeting that I didn't stay till the end, but in some other meetings, I think they don't share the opportunity for everyone to manifest their thoughts. I think it's a failure that we have not only in my political party, but in our society.
So in other words, you can have any opinion you want as long as it agrees with mine. Yeah. Democracy. Democracy.
I know that I'm a very talkative guy. But when I'm in a group, I try to not to concentrate the power of the expression of the word on my hand. I try to share it. I don't compete to speak more and more. I think it's not good for the intention of the meeting or the intention, the objective of the group. If I just talk and I don't hear other people, then it's not a meeting. I can hear to the Zoom or some other app and make a online individual recording and record myself speaking. I think it's almost the same. Then I can put it on Instagram or Facebook or something else, and people will watch, I don't know what I say. Yeah.
Yes, of course. And then you could project an image of yourself on social media, which is completely different to the reality. Yeah.
Yeah.
So one last question, a little bit of a funny question, Isma. If you were a social media personality, representing your political party, your political party and its policies and re-election campaign, etc., etc. What would you not wear to boost your confidence when you appear on social media?
When you say where, you are saying clothes?
Clothes, correct. Yes. What clothes would you not have on?
I don't know if the name in English, that t-shirt without sleeves, I wouldn't use that, wear that. Because I think when you speak in public, I think it's a disrespect if you use a t-shirt without sleeves.
A tank top. It's called a tank top.
Tank top.
A tank top, yes. And I would even say I would use it to wear to keep me warm in winter. Yeah. So I wouldn't even be seen in public with.
Here, some people, not many, but some people go to a restaurant, not a fancy restaurant, but a public, popular restaurant, with a tank top. It's terrible.
But they feel
I
confident
think
with
we need at least a t-shirt, yeah?
a sleeve, some sort of sleeves, yes.
And
If
you, what wouldn't you use to on social media? You wear?
I don't actually know because I usually wear the same things, a shirt, a jumper, or a t-shirt, a proper t-shirt, yeah. Because that's what I prefer wearing. So maybe a funny costume, a funny hat. Yeah, that would make me look ridiculous. I wouldn't wear that. Yeah. But I don't think there's much hope in me anyway, so
Until unless you were interpreting a character, yeah, something like funny, I think it should be different, but myself talking as smart, I wouldn't wear a tank top.
Okay. All right. So, Isma, we have not changed the world. We are confident that we will not change the world, the two of us. But we are confident that next week, same time, same place, we can have another
Okay, sir. Have a nice day.
intelligent conversation. Yeah. Thank you for your
Thank
time.
you.
Take
Thank
care.
you for your time. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.